Blog Talk Radio.
Salamta Betaseb. Greetings and welcome, family, to this special episode of Wisdom Wednesday with the Rastamandem here on Discipleship Radio.
The Proverbs, Chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent, without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit, we shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent, without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit, we shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent, without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit, we shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood, they lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Psalm 94. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, The Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, My foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth men knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. And I said, my foot slippeth. Thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense. My God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off.
Yes, yes, yes. Wisdom Wednesday.
Salamone mal, arsu befite, bonnet.
These are also the proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out.
Salamta, Betaseb. Greetings and welcome, family, to this special episode of Wisdom Wednesday with the Rastamandem here on Discipleship Radio.
So here for the fourth day, we're at the midway day of the Shabuah, here of the sabbatical strong. So we have seven aliyot, seven readings right here. So we got two readings right here for day three and day four. Gonna ride up with that. Yes, I.
The Bible to around the wicked, I go crumble. I be Bible. Shout out to some and the wicked, them chimble. The Bible, I be Bible.
Sabbatical study. This I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong. 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 Shabbat
strong. Psalm 94. The evening psalm here for the fourth day right here, Psalm 94. Today's daily psalm, according to the royal order, we have Psalm 26. Stay tuned. But right here for this 37 sabbatical study for Shalach Lekah, Shalach, Shalach, Sen. Likah, for the I self male. Here we get the spies, the 12 spies and the 10 lies and the consequences for the Bnei Yisrael in the wilderness. And the Rhema word is the word for I and I, even this wilderness of this North Country, North America. But first,
if the Yahweh, he who be we be, delight in us, then he will bring us, I and I, into this land and give it us and give it to I and I, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye, y'all, against the Yahweh, he who be, we be, neither fear, y'all, the people of the land.
Rent their clothes. They spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. A land which floweth with milk and honey. 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 In us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Through to search it is an exceeding good land. Through to search it is an exceeding good land. Through to search it is an exceeding good land.
Delight in us, then he will bring us, I and I, into this land and give it us and give it to I and I, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye, y'all, against the Yahweh, he who be, who he be, neither fear, y'all, the people of the land. For
not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for the land which floweth with milk and honey, the land which floweth with milk and honey, he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey, he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey, is an exceeding good land, is an exceeding good land. Is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defenses departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And all the congregation bade to stone them with stones. But glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? To Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy mouth. How long will this people provoke me? And how...
Yes, here for this 37th sabbatical study here concerning the land. As of right now, word right here for I and I. Yes, I, we, the black people of the world, yes, I, Ethiopian Hebrews, right here. Let's ride up right here for the third and the fourth.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel, O children of Israel? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Children of the Ethiopians. Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel? Children of Israel.
Seth. Live by the Torah and the wicked a go crumble. Babe Bible. Shout up two sons and the wicked them tremble. Live by Babe Bible. Shout up two sons and the wicked them tremble. Live by the Torah and the wicked a go crumble.
Sabbatical study, this I and I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat. And here for the Shalishi Aliyah, the third Anaphora offering up for this Shabbat Shalach Lika, for this Senbet Lak. Til Kalachu, the third Aliyah, the third offering up, third reading here for this Shabbat, the Shalishi. Here picking up with the fourth book of Moshe, the Hebrew book that's called Numbers chapter 14. Here for the Shalishi Aliyah, here at verse 8, Numbers 14 and 8. Im Abanu Yawa Wehebia Otanu Elaha Areta Hazot. Unatana lanu areta ashia zabat haleb udebash. Here for the Shalishi Aliyah, Numbers 14 and 8. If the Yahweh, He who be, we be, delight in us, then he will bring us, I and I, into this land, and give it us, and give it to I and I, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye, y'all, against the Yahweh, he who be, who he be, neither fear y'all the people of the land. For they are bread for I and I. Their defense is departed from them, and Yahweh and Jehovah is with us, with I and I. Fear them not, but all the aggregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory, the kabod Yahweh, and the glory of Jehovah appeared in the Ohel Moed, in the tent of meeting, the tabernacle of the appointment, the tabernacle of the congregation, before all the Bnei Yisrael, the children, the sons of Israel. And Yahweh, Jehovah said to Moshe, How long will this people provoke me? How long will this people provoke I?
And how long will it be ere they believe me, they believe I, for all the signs which I have shewed among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee I a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said to Yahweh, to Jehovah, then the Bani Mitzrayim, the sons of Egypt, the Egyptians, will hear it. For thou, the I, broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, the I, Yahweh, Jehovah, art among this people. And that thou, the I, Yahweh, Jehovah, art seen face to face. And that thy cloud standest over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud and in a pillar of fire, belaylah, by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations, the goyim, the international community, which have heard the fame of the I, will speak, saying, because Yahweh, Jehovah, Yahweh, was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware to them, therefore he have slain them in the Midbar, in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, I make the power of Adonai be great, according as thou the I hast spoken. Lamor, Yahweh, Jehovah, is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers of the patriarchs upon the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon. Salah. I beseech the eye, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Mitzrayim, even until now, from Egypt, from Kemet, even unto now. And Yahweh said, Jehovah said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the kabod Yahweh, the glory of Jehovah. Because all those men which have seen kabodi, my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, because all those men which have seen my glory, kabodi, my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt, in Kemet, in Gibbet, and in the Midbar, and have tempted I now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they, Adam, shall not see the land which I swear to their fathers, their patriarchs, neither shall any of them that provoked I see it. But, however, on the other hand, my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit, another irit, another ruach, another menfes,
another Irish with him, and hath followed I fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed, his race, shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the Midbar, into the wilderness, by the way of the Yam, the Yam Suf, 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 the Yam Suf. And hear, 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 Shema'ar, give ear right here, hear for the Rabbi'i Aliyah. Aliyah, Aliyah, Aliyah. For this Shabbat, Shabbat Shilach Lika, this Senbet, Senbet Laka Til Kalacho. Here, 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 here. Fourth book of Moshe, Hebrew book that is called Numbers, Numbers chapter 14. Here at verse 26, for the Rabbi'i Aliyah, and now for offering up for this Shabbat, Shilach Lika, Sabbath sent. Why Daberi Yahweh el Moshe v'el Aharon le'mor. Here at verse 26 for the fourth Aliyah, Numbers 14:26. And the Yahweh spake to Moshe and to Aharon le'mor, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me, which murmur against I, against I, against I, against I, against I, against I? I have heard the murmurings of the Bnei Yisrael, of the sons, the children of Yisrael, which they murmur against me, which they murmur against I. Say to them, as truly as I live, hi, 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 saith the Yahweh, as y'all ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, this Midbar, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, which have murmured against I, against I, against I, against I, against I. Doubtless ye, y'all, shall not come into this land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Yehoshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, your little ones, which y'all said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which y'all have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this Midbar, in this wilderness, and your children shall wander by Midbar in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms, your whoredoms, until your carcasses be wasted by Midbar in the wilderness. After the number of days in which ye all search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye all bear your iniquities, even 40 years. And ye all shall know my breach of promise. I, Yahweh, he who be who he be, have said, I will surely do it to all, to all, to all, to all, to all, to all, this evil congregation, to all this evil aggregation that are gathered together, together against me, against I, in this Midbar, in this wilderness, they shall be consumed. And there, and there, and there, and there, and there, and there they shall die. And the men which Moshe sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation, all the aggregation to murmur, complain, grumble, murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague, lifnei Yahuwah, before Jehovah. But Yahushua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Yefunneh, which were of the men, the Anashim, that went to search the land, lived still. And Moshe told these sayings to all the Bnei Yisrael, all the sons, all the children of Yisrael, and Ha'am, the people, mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go up, Aliyah, up to the place which Yahweh, which Jehovah hath promised. For we have sinned. I and I have ucked up. And Moshe said, wherefore now do y'all transgress the commandment of the Yahweh? Wherefore now? Why now? Why now do y'all transgress? You'll go against the Yahweh, the mouth of Jehovah. But it shall not prosper. Go not up. Go not up. Do not aliyah. Al-ta'elu, do not go up, for Yahweh Jehovah is not among you, that ye all be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are, they are before you, and ye all shall fall by the sword, because y'all are turned away from the Yahweh. Therefore the Yahweh will not be with you. But they presumed to go up, to Aliyah, up into to the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Yahweh and Moshe, Moses, departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even to Hormah. Fourth book of Moshe, Hebrew book, that's called Numbers, chapter 15. The years of wandering. First item, the end anticipated. And the Yahweh spake to Moshe, Moses, Lamor, saying, speak to the Bnei Yisrael, and say to them, when y'all become into the land of your habitations, which I give to you, and will make an offering by fire, la Yahuwah, to Jehovah, a olah, a burnt offering, or a zebach, sacrifice, in performing a neder, a vow, or in a free will offering, or in your solemn feast, to make a sweet savor, la Yahuwah, to Jehovah, of the herd or of the flock, then shall he that offereth his offering, la Yahuwah, to Jehovah, bring a minka, a meal offering, of a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth
parts of an hin of oil, and the fourth part of an hin of wine for a nesach, a drink offering, shall thou prepare with the orla, the burnt offering, or zebach, sacrifice for one lamb, or for a ram. Thou shalt prepare for a mincha, a meal offering, 2/10 deals of flour mingled with the third part of an hin of oil. And for a drink offering, nesach, thou the eyes shall offer the third part of an hin of wine for a sweet savor, la Yahuwah, to Jah.
Shove,
there's a lot of work to be done, oh God, him, the promised land. Oh, well now. Hey. Whoa, well, the promised land.
I said, won't you go out of the house, nigga, Jasper?
What?
Jasper, don't you want freedom? We going to promised land. The promised land.
What? Promised land? What? Cleveland?
No, Jasper.
Baltimore?
No, Jasper, the promised land.
What? Oh, the promised land. Minnesota?
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel?
There's a lot of work to be done, O God, in the promised land. There's a lot of work to be done, oh God, him,
Here for the 37th Ethiopian Welfare Federation Incorporated 1937. There's a Rhema word, a right now word right here, here, here. Also for this sabbatical study, for this Shabbat
sabbatical
Strong.
Study, this I and I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong.
Sabbatical Torah Mana. We have here
Parsha.
Kabarim, Shalom. Here, Shalach. Shalach Leka. Shalom, Shabbat Shalach. Shabbat Shalach Leka. Sabbath, send. Send to you, send for yourself. Shalach, send. Leka, Leka. Shalach Leka. Send for yourself. Here, we have the 37th sabbatical Torah Mana. We have here the Parsha, here the weekly Torah portion, the 37th in I&I sabbatical, Rastafari sabbatical studies of the Torah readings and the feedings, the Mana, the angel's bread. Here we have the fourth in the fourth book of Numbers, the Hebrew book known as the Sefer Bamidbar. Sefer, book. Sefer Bamidbar, in the wilderness. Now here, constituting Numbers chapter 13, picking up verse 1 to Numbers chapter 15, verse 41. And we, the black Jews of the line of the tribe of Judah, here in the diaspora, generally read Shalach, the Torah reading and feeding, the weekly Torah portion here, sabbatical study here. Normally we read it in June, in the Gregorian month corresponding to June, right? Its name, Shalach Leka, it comes from the first distinctive words in the Parsha, in the sabbatical study, in this portion right here, in Numbers chapter 13, verse 2. Shalach. Shalach is the sixth, and leka, leka, for the I, male. Shalach is the command. Shalach, the imperative. Shalach, send. So speaking to a male singular, saying shalach, is to say send, leka, leka, for the I self. Shalach, leka. Send for yourself. So Shalach is the sixth, and Leka is the seventh word in the Parsha, in this sabbatical study. So here, Shema Yisrael, Sema, Rastafari, Sema, in the Royal Amharic Sema corresponds to Shema, 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 to hear, 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 hear. This parasha for Shabbat, Shalach, Lecha, Senbet, Lach, Tilkalachu, it tells of the story, the narrative here is of the scouts or the spies who discourage the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, the Israelites. Also, this parasha speaks on the commandments concerning and about the offerings, the story of the Sabbath violator, and the commandment of the fringes, the commandment of the fringes. So here, just in the content summary here for this 37th sabbatical study, the scouts, offerings, the Sabbath violator, and fringes. Here, 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 give ear for Shalach Lecha. Here, the 37th weekly Torah portion, reading and feeding, and I and I, cycle of Torah readings, the fourth in the book of, the fourth book of Numbers. So, Chavarim, fellow associates, Talmudim, fellow disciples, what does the Hebrew word or words, Shalach Lecha, Shalach Lecha, what does the Hebrew words, expression, hear, 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 the distinctive words of this 37th sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong, Shalach Lecha, what do these words mean, Chavarim? Send, send for yourself, Shalach, send, an imperative, a command, an order, Shalach, speaking to an individual, indivisible, dual, speaking to an individual male, Shalach, Shalach, Shalach. Lika, li for ka, for the I self. Shalach lika, send for yourself, send for the I self. Hear, 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 this 37th sabbatical study, Shabbat Strong. Now, let's also note this, note this, note this. Notice that what I and I learned right here, 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 later on is that it was the people. It was ha'am, it was the people's desire. The people's desire based on their fear. Based on the false evidence appearing real, it was the people's desire to send out the spies, to send out the spies. It was the people's desire, and not the result of Ha'el, Ha'el, the power, the Almighty, Ha'elohim, Ha'elohim's. It was not Ha'elohim's command, not Ha'elohim's command. It was the people's desire. Where do we learn this? In Devarim. In the fifth book of Moshe, the Hebrew book that is known as the Sefer HaDevarim, in the words, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21 to 33, we learn that it was the people's desire. So this Torah portion right here, the 37th sabbatical study here, the fourth reading here in the fourth book of Moshe, known as Shalach Lecha, send for yourself, or go, the sense of go, but really send, Shalach Lecha, send for the I self. We learn later on when Moshe gives his farewell Darasha, his sermon, you could say his farewell speech, his farewell address to the new generation. So here is where the 40-year gap begins right here, 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 in this sabbatical study, in this Shabbat Strong, because of the results, right? Because of what were the results? What were the results of this touring? The Hebrew word tour is interesting too, the word to spy, tour, right? To tour the land. Because of the results or the evil reports brought back by the 10 spies, right? But the original prompting of the sending forth, Moses testifies in the next book, in the fifth book. So here in the fourth book, we have the incident and we have the narrative concerning the spies or the scouts. But later on, we learn that it was the people's ha'am, it was even Jah people's desire, based on their fear, based on the false evidence that appeared real, to send out the spies. And this is a go-ahead. After all that Yahuwah Eloheinu had done for Jah people, you would think that they were just forward. But no, because of their fear, because of the chatter, because of the murmuring, the grumbling, the complaining, as we had in the previous sabbatical study, Rastafari sabbatical study, you know, in the previous sabbatical study. Here we're at the fourth, right? So we had three already as we begun this fourth book of Moshe. So here we're at the fourth, and the previous three, we begin to see the testimony of the murmuring, the grumbling, the complaining. So the people had a desire, and the desire was to find out what the land was really, really like, right? And thus, to send out the spies was not the result of Yahuwah, of Jehovah's command. It was not his command. And see, as we study the Hebrew, the biblical Hebrew, the Masoretic Hebrew, it says shelach lecha, shelach. Recognize that shelach, 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 from the Hebrew root shalach, 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 shalach. Bamarinya we have.
Bamarinya we have.
Bamarinya we have.
We have.
Bamarinya
we have.
We have. Lach til kalachu. Right? Send for yourself. Lach til kalachu. Send for yourself. It brings out til kalachu. So we have the lake, lake. Here, Hebrew, shalach. Shalach is he sent. Right? Here we have the command, shalach. Shalach. So I speak to a man, I say, shalach, lika. Send for yourself. Send for yourself. Lach til kalachu. Send for yourselves. So here, this now corresponds with the testimony that we have in Deuteronomy. But there's many who believe that it was actually Jah who sent them to send the spies. It was the result of Jah's command. No, it was the result of the people's grumbling, complaining, their murmuring, right? So what was the status? What's the status of each of the 12 men sent out as spies? They had one for each of the 12 tribes. They were the chosen, according to the Hebrew, they were the Nisiei Matot, the Nisiei, the princes of Matot, of the Matot, of the tribes, the Nisiei Matot. They were the chosen princes of the tribes, the chosen Nisiei Matot, and the Rosses. They were the Roshim, the heads, the Rosses of the clans of Yisrael. Moshe also here in this Torah reading and feeding changed the name of one of the spies. Did you note that? That Moses changed the name of one of the spies before that spy took part in the mission. The mission was to search out the land. Shelach Lecha. Who was that spy? And what was his name changed to? What was his name before? Who was the spy who Moshe changed his name? So here we have a name change as well of one of the spies, one of the mine. And what is the difference between his name as it was and what Moses changed his name to? Well, we have Hosea. 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 His name was changed to Yehoshua. Yehoshua. Hosea in the Hebrew brings out the sense and the idea of God has helped. God has helped, or one who has helped. One who was helped. One who has helped. That Ha'el, that God has helped. This is the sense of it. And Yehoshua, the trigrammaton here, the three letters, Yehoshua, Yahoshua, Yahoshua, from Hosea to Yehoshua means that he who be who he be will help. But the Shua sense will save. So we have the sense of saved, Hosea, and Yahoshua. He who be who he be will save. Jehovah will save. Shema, 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 Yisrael.
Shema, 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 Yisrael. Shema, Shema, Yisrael. Shema, Shema, Yisrael. Shema, Shema,
there's a lot of work to be done, oh gosh, in the promised land. Everybody just are uncomplicated, but Israel don't have it already. Man, I'm trying to see you get it. Everybody don't know Jaja already.
Africa
was coming to take it.
Here I come.
Ethiopia land is best of all. Repatriate and make we take it all. No land for you and I, man. Work hard and make we do it in a yard.
Africa,
they're coming to take it.
Here I come.
Oh, oh, oh.
Africa, boy. Here I come.
See your people coming.
When we go there, we not run. Jaja knows that we are fit. When we go there, we not run.
Africa have some real nice people. When you reach there, I know you will see it. Enough land for you and I, man. Work hard and make we do be seen again.
Africa war.
We now run left with.
Here I go.
Boy, 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 boy.
Africa war. Here I come.
Here is how we gonna take it. Take a track up to North Africa. Then we move down to South Africa. Make a move over West Africa. And then we end up in Ethiopia, man.
Africa war.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Here I come.
We're coming to take it.
Africa war.
Hold on strong.
Here I come.
See the Israelites, them coming.
When we go there, we now run. Cha-cha knows that we are.
Never run
when we go there, we now run.
Ya know, ya know.
We have to go. Africa war.
Here I come.
Here I come.
I'm coming to get you.
Africa war.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Lights them coming. Freddie McGregor right there with Africa, here I come. The Israelites them coming. Yes, I. So here for this 37th sabbatical study for the Shabbat Strong here on the Wednesday podcast, Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom, she is the principal. Yes, I, the principal, the key in the beginning. So here we have today's daily psalm, Psalm 26. Going to ride up with Psalm 26, a plea of the upright right here in the season, reason for the season, plea of the upright. Here, here, here. So first things first, let's just touch on the Torah reading and feeding. We have this 37th sabbatical study, Shabbat Strong, Shalach Lecha. Shalach Lecha, Shalach Lecha. Send for the I self. So we get these other Israelites, right, these so-called remorseful Israelites, right? It seemed like they had some sort of remorse. They were seeming like to repent, you know, because it says right here, in the scripts, and Moses told these sayings to the B'nai Yisrael, to the children of Israel, like tell these sayings to I.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel?
And the people mourned greatly, and they rose up early in the morning, in the dawning, and got them up. They allied up. They went up. They made heights, you know what I mean, heights into the top, to the top of the mountain, the Rosh, the head of the mountain, saying, lo, look, we be here. That's Sinai people. We be here. They went up, right, into the mountain. And they said, moreover, and we'll go up, and we're going to even go higher, Allah, Aliyah. We're going to go up into the place, the Makom, the spot that Yahweh, hey, Yahweh, Jehovah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, Holy One, blessed be He, blessed be the name, have promised. We're going to keep Him to His promise. We're going to go up, right? For we have sinned. So they do confess where it says, you know, He will cover His uckery, you know, will not prosper, but he who confess and forsake and, like, leave it alone will receive mercy. The principle right there, they're there. So they do say, we have sinned. They do admit they have fallen short. They missed the mark. They upped up. Verse 41, chapter 14, verse 41, right, part of the fourth aliyah right here, right? They said, furthermore, right here, and Moses said, now, wherefore now? Like, why now? Why now do you all transgress the commandment of Yahweh? Now, it's interesting with this commandment here. Some places, actually, the Hebrew word, the mitzvah, or the tau, right? The mitzvah from the tau, the verb to, like, command, to enjoin, a mitzvah, like a imperative, do, right, or don't do. But here in the Hebrew, it says, Alpi, right? Alpi, the pi, the phi, speak of the mouth, the pi, the phi. The Hebrew letter pe can also be enunciated as fe. It has like a, you know, the Hebrew, there's a duality, and the Hebrew has like a double sound right there. So we both have, scientifically speaking, here in this book of sacred geometry, numbers, we have the pi and the phi, which directly is the mouth. The pi and the phi, words, finite mouth, meditation, finite heart. Interesting that the word midbar in the Hebrew come from the Hebrew dabar. That means to speak, right? To speak, just to make that connection there. But they do admit that they have upped up. But Moses now asks them, wherefore now do you transgress the mouth of he who be who he be? It shall not prosper. Let's look at the scene here. The scene here, according to the narrative here in the fourth book of Moses, the Hebrew book that's called Numbers, here in Numbers chapter 14, right? Beginning off with verse 39 right here. Just want to zoom in, right? Into verse 41. In verse 40, it seems like they rose up early in the dawn, right? In the morning, right? They got them up into the top of the mountain, and they say, we be here, you know? We, I, look at us, you know? We're going to go up into the place, right, that Jehovah has promised, for we have upped up. It's kind of interesting there. They acknowledge they have done wrong, right? Now they're going to take things into their own hands. So Moses now responds to them, wherefore, why now do you all transgress the mouth of Jehovah? Now let's see if we can see this as like a scene, right? So they're up there on the mount, you know, saying, look at us. We be here. Look at us. Look what we did. See what we did? Right, we messed up. We sinned. Now, what are you talking about? They've sinned because they, you know, chose to get up early in the morning and to, you know, presumptuously go up into the mountain. Or are they talking about they've sinned, they've upped up, that led to that 40 years for a day judgment? Which one are they talking about? It's kind of vague here. But it's obvious that they're up there, and Moshe is down there saying, listen, you know, like what you doing up in the treetop? Right? Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of Jehovah? It is not going to work out. It is not going to prosper. And then he goes on to say in verse 42, go not up, don't aliyah up. They're already up in the mountain, but they're going to go up further. So it gives us a kind of a topology, you know, of the land, right? So they went up into the mountain, but they had to go further up now to cross over and to get over in the land. So there's this mountain that they stormed that's at the border, right, of the Kana'anu'anu, the African tonight, African land, right? So here, Moses is telling them, don't go up, don't aliyah, for Yahweh, Jehovah, is not among you. There's no Emmanuel, right? He who be El, Hayel, the power, is not among y'all. That y'all be not smitten before your enemies, that you're not going to get knocked down, knocked back, and knocked down before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are before you. So Moshe is giving them fair warning. All right? It's like what we call in the Hebrew, the Rodef Deen. I mean, like the pursuer, the law of the pursuer. Like somebody's pursuing somebody, and it's wrong for them to pursue. Maybe they caught up in emotion or whatever, and you say to them, stop, don't pursue, and they ignore that. You have a right, right, to stop them. But Moses is not giving the word sound, saying, listen, before you, there's the Amalekites. We touched on Amalek, right, and the metaphysical cycle of Amalek, the fire cycle, the physical, the outer, and the inner type of the Amalekites. And he says the Canaanites are there before you, and y'all shall fall by the sword. They're going to hit you with the chereb. That chereb is going to hit you, and you're going to knock you back. You're going to fall because y'all are turned away from he who be who he be, from Yahweh. Therefore, Yahweh will not be with you. There will be no Immanuel, no power. You won't have no power. But verse 14:44, right here, Numbers chapter 14, verse 44, but they presumed. They presumed to go up to Ali, up to even make heights. So they was making heights to the hilltop, right? Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant, the Aron HaBrit of Yahweh and Moshe, right, departed not out of the camp. So they didn't have the Ark, and they didn't have Moshe. Then verse 45 right here, then the Amalekites came down. They came down on them, and the Canaanites that dwelt in that hill did what? Smote them. Did what? And discomfited them to Horma from Cherem, right? Cherem, something to be devoted, you know, Cherem in a sense, right? But we have Horma here. So let's go into a little bit of metaphysical, right, the fire cycle. Let's get a basic understanding of these place names. The place names, they add another dimension called the HD. Right, that Hebrew definition, that high definition, the Hebrew definition. So what is Horma? Discomfort, it smote them. They got smitten by the Amalekites and the Canaanites. And we touched on Amalek in the previous podcast. Right? Now here we're touching on the place they got knocked back to. They got knocked back to a place called Horma. What is Horma or Horma? What is Horma? Horma comes from the Hebrew Cherem. And Horma means shut in. Horma means devoted, consecrated, dedicated. An asylum is a Horma. A sanctuary, in a sense, is Horma. Now, remember the word is from Cherem. Cherem. Let me give you an example. When the Israelites went into the land, when they went into the land under the leadership of Yehoshua, right, the first cities that they hit, right, it says that all of the booty and the loot, right, would be like cherem or harem. We get the word harem, but harem would be cherem. That means that it would be like devoted, in a sense, would be cursed. In other words, it is cursed for them to take that, right, to themselves, because that would be to Yahweh, and to the Levite, Halloween, for their service. So in that sense, it is a curse for you. You know what I mean? It's curse for you because it's set apart. It's shut in for someone else. Or in the sense of the word chorma from cherem, it can mean like never to be redeemed. Something that's chorma is something that cannot be redeemed. Something that's chorma can also be that which is devoted, right, or set apart for destruction or destroyed. Chorma laid waste, Horma exterminated, but also a Horma can be a fortress. So the particular word that has a particular interesting root idea, but it's the context. As Hawaria Paulos, Rabbi Shaul said, you know, according to the Brit Chadasha, you know, not the letter, right? It's not about the letter of the law, right? But it's about the spirit, right? So like the context, but getting a good idea of what the root, these root words mean, right? And then to meditate on the spirit of it, right? So the Chorma is devotion, right? It was the town of the Canaanites that eventually was conquered by Yehoshua, allotted to Yehuda, and located in the south of Judah. Now we have Chorma, right, from the root Cherem or Haram, Haram. Getting to the Hebrew root here, according to the Brown's, Drivers, Briggs concordance and definition, it brings out the sense of haram, the H2763, to ban. So that's ban is haram. Haram, something that is devoted. Haram. For example, if certain kings or ones had a harem, a harem, right? They had a haram, right? That means that this is devoted to them. Right, but it is banned from you. And if you touch this that is devoted to them, you get destroyed, utterly destroyed. Right? So the idea of haram, completely destroy, dedicate to destruction. So something that might be set as haram can also be that which is devoted to destruction, to be exterminated. Right? But the sense of the word comes down from the spirit of to prohibit something from common use. Almost like in the same sense of being set apart, to prohibit something from common use. And in that sense, it's consecrated, it's devoted. But then this also can be dedicated for destruction, to exterminate, to be completely destroyed. Like we say, it's according to the spirit of the word. Next, haram, here Strong's bring out the primitive root sense of this word, the H2763, to seclude, secluding something specifically by banning something, but also to devote something to religious or spiritual or special use, right? And it can also be something being devoted to destruction. It can be used in a physical sense or reflexive sense. In fact, this word also is used to blunt the nose, to blunt the nose. So back in the ancient times, sometimes they destroyed noses off of people's statues or monuments because of the connection of the nose to the breath. And also because of sympathetic magic. So if one had a statue that was like a person and named after a person and their name is on the statue and you knock off the nose, it's like in the afterlife, you know, according to the beliefs based on some primary, you know, primary facts, that you would basically destroy their life and you would blunt their nose. But that also can be haram. The haram is to blunt the nose. So in Leviticus, there's a verse where it talks about the qualifications of the priest. Right. And it says, like, what disqualifications as well. It speaks about in the King James Version, a flat nose. Right. And it says a flat nose. But that's actually a blunt to the nose. And when you really get into the context of it, right, it had nothing to do with how many ones will see it as a racial something. But something is, you know, there's no disfigurement. A priest who is supposed to be a representative for the one who is offering, for example, you would want your doctor, in a sense, to be healthier than you. You would want that doctor. If you had a doctor and the doctor was real healthy, you know what I mean? And they gave you, you would think like, wow, you know, but went to the doctor and he's, you know, it seemed like very sickly. And, you know, and then you sick, you'd be like, wait, what's up? You know, physician, first heal thyself. So it's bringing out this, getting just to the basics of the word right here, right? So blunted to the nose, just as it says that the man who has his how does King James translate it? His stones crushed. His stones crushed. You know, like we say, like somebody don't have no balls, no cojones on that level. Both can mean literally the one don't have any balls or cojones, or even figuratively, because if you can't, you know, you have no balls, then how are you going to have so-called balls for jaw work, in other words, just to bring out the sense of, you know, getting to the root of the word so we can begin to understand how, well, the word may be translated in this sense here, right? But then the same root word, right, having aspects of it is a slightly different here, and how what seems like a difference in some of the meanings is really connected in the spirit of the word. So we have Chorma. This is the place that, according to Numbers chapter 14, verse 45, the remorseful and the pseudo-repentant Israelites who presumed to go up into the land were beaten back by the Amalekites and the Canaanites, even to Chorma. So here it says, and Jehovah hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And the name of the place was called Chorma, So the name of the place was called Harma. Now, this is in Numbers 2, but this is many chapters forward. We're in chapter 14 now, but this reference here is Numbers chapter 21, verse 3. In the margin of some better Bibles, you'll find, quote, devoted, is given in place of utterly destroyed. And we are told that Harma is the same root as Harem. Harem. Harem is something that is like devoted, devoted thing. Harma was also a city that Yehuda, that Judah and Simeon took from the Canaanites. And it was allotted to Simeon, to Simeon in Judges chapter 1, verse 17, and Joshua chapter 19, verse 4. Now in Joshua, Yehoshua chapter 15, verse 30, Harma is mentioned as a city of Yehuda. So this is just a basic kind of from the metaphysical MBD here overview. The phi cycle, we can say the outer type, the earthly type, the natural types, and the second of the two truths, the meta-phi cycle, right? The inner type, the higher type, right? A seeming harma represents a seeming paradox, right? In that righteous overcoming or the Christian overcoming, the Nazarene overcoming, something that is a seeming paradox. Even from going through the basic root of this ancient Afro-Semitic word, we can see this paradox. It seems to have almost like two sides to it, right? But now on the metaphysical, right, on the spiritual, the iritical of this, it's a seeming paradox, right, in the messianic overcoming, that overcoming in Moshiach, right, or the true Christian overcoming. It's the letting go and utter destruction of error beliefs. The letting go. Interesting, I was reasoning with, you know, a daughter of John, you know, and I was something that just kept coming to my own mind. I've been seeking to practice this, you know, like catch and release, right? Sometimes in emotions and, you know, say spirits, you know, you might, you know, you grab hold on it, but sometimes you have to just let some things go, right? Especially in this context of the karma. Right, the harma sense, to let go, right, and utter destruction of error beliefs and ideas. Once we recognize that some things that we believe be naive, or something that we have credited, we should discredit. Something we have admitted, we should not admit it, right, and have to let go and let it to utter destruction of error beliefs and ideas, right, that contradicts Yahweh, truth, and life. And at the same time, of letting go of the era belief, right, and ideas or ideologies, idolatries, at the same time, the devoting and the dedicating, the livicating, and the consecrating, the filling up to High Elohim, to High Elohim, to Source, to the high and the spiritual use of all the energy, the substance, the power, the faith, the intel, the intelligence and strength that have been given to promotion of error, even in our consciousness. We recognize something that ain't true. Now, of course, if one has too much pride, well, one will fall from grace like Hasatan. But if one doesn't have too much pride, you begin to recognize, yeah, you know, have to let these things go. And then at the very same time to devote, to livicate, right, to consecrate, to fill up to Ha Elohim, to the power, to the higher, right, and the more spiritual, more refined use of all the energy, the substance, the power, the faith, or the credit, the faith, or the admittance, the intel, the intelligence, and the strength that have been given, on the other hand, to the promotion of the error beliefs, the error thoughts, the error ideas. In order to disempower the erroneous ways of thinking, right? When we give up old activities, right, and deny them, he will confess his uckeries, his falling short, his missing the mark. He will confess and what? And forsake. It's one thing to confess, right, but it's also to make it good, make it whole, right? You know, just like as it says in Ha Torah, when one is guilty of defrauding somebody in a business matter, you can't just go to Jah and offer your offering to Jah, right, under the violation of defrauding, you know, in business, but you also have to make whole that person at the same time, right? So that forsaking, right? That confessing and forsaking, right? It's brought out in Hortimer, right? When we give up the old activities and deny them, denying them out of consciousness. It appears at first as though we are putting away our very life. All depends on how closely we have identified with those erroneous beliefs or those erroneous ideas. It will appear at first when one puts into practice to perfect as though we are putting away our very life, our power of action, right, of some sort of accomplishment or something that may have been at some time useful, even though it was an erroneous idea. It was an erroneous belief. This, however, is not the case, right? Appearances, don't judge by appearance, right, but judge by truth, reality. So this is not the case. All the good, all the power of being that in our ignorance, our not knowing or ignoring, we use to perpetrate the error or the limitation is now livicated, is ivoted, is dedicated to the spirit, is dedicated to the source, the ruach, is preserved and is set into constructive action, building up. Right, constructive action to the upbuilding and the spiritualizing, right, the idolifying of our organism. Right, it's interesting. We was looking at promised land, and on a metaphysics, the natural level, where we know land is land. But now, in the second of the two truths, what was the promised land really linked with? Well, the metaphysical Bible dictionary, it speaks about the promised land being that substratum of substance, right, that is. That like that new, the new body, that redemption body. And the sense in the scripture speaks about that redemption body, right? That new body. Like we have a body and we can see in nature according to creation in this present age, that kind of degenerated of, you know, of life, you know. But then we recognize nature and creation has a process of renewal. And it's like somehow we have gotten cut off from that regeneration process. But in this time, also there's an elevating and a returning to it as it was in the beginning, so shall it be, yes. So thus, Chorma, this place of overcoming in us, in I and I, it becomes a fortress and a sanctuary, a place of retreat and seclusion. In a sense, it's an asylum for many of our inner thoughts during process of adjustment in consciousness. So these Israelites right here applying that, even though according to the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, it took the instances of Horma that are found later on, right, within the scripture and didn't really zoom in on this right here, but now applying the principles there to this right here, it was a good thing. It actually became a good thing, you know, like, you know, when Dawid says, when David says it was good that he was, you know, afflicted. If I remember the KJV translation well, you know, that he would have regard to like Jah's statutes and Jah's law. Like sometimes we go through affliction, right? And that affliction becomes an experience. And that experience right there, it becomes useful, right, to us in growing up, right, to growing up. Now, there was also the Canaanites. It was the Canaanites that was mentioned. Let's bring out the Canaanites, because a lot of ones will look at it from the fleshy and the carnal, right, the carnal sense right here. But let's touch on the Canaanites. Now, right here, Canaan is an interesting word sound, right? Canaan, in one level of the Hebrew, right, it can mean a merchant. Canaan can mean a pirate. On a level, Canaan, right? It's Canaan, low, like say inferior or lowland, right? Like the lowland, right? The lowlanders, like you have the highlanders, you have the lowlanders. So on that level, right? But now as you build up on the meaning of Canaan, it can also come out to be in the metaphysics of it, realize nothingness, right? It relates to the material existence. It relates to traffic, like traffic with a C or traffic with a K. Traffic, you know, into a traffic in materiality. Traffic in materiality. Now, Canaan metaphysically relates to the lowland, right? That is the body consciousness. So the word itself means the lowland, right? Now, the lowland on the metaphysics is the body consciousness. The redeemed body is the promised land. And when man rediscovers this lost domain, all the promises, the yea and the amen of Yahuwah that's found in the scriptures will be fulfilled. It is not a dream, right, Chabarim, that man is to possess an immortal body. It's not a dream, as it was in the beginning. So, you know, we're going to this interregnum, so to speak. It is a solid fact. In order to redeem the body, man must enter with his spiritual, his higher thoughts, the higher thoughts, into his organism and teach it, right? Teach it the saving and the salvation reality, the saving truth. This is the symbolic teaching that we have in Yehoshua, in Joshua chapter 1. We can also think of the Canaan, right, according to the metaphysics, as a lowland, as referring to the subconsciousness, right? Represents also on another level humbleness as well as receptivity. So the land of Canaan too, it represents the unlimited elemental, natural, nature, elemental forces of being. In that man is placed, and to that he gives character through his faith, through his yea and amen, through his credo, his credit, right, through his amen, through his admittance in Ha'el, Ha'el, in the Almighty, in the power, as omnipresent, Ruach, as the Irid, the spirit, breath of life. To the mystics, on the mystical level, this name, Canaan, is the name of the invisible substance that surrounds and interpenetrates all forms of life. Of that, it is the mother. Now, according to the natural, looking at even the scripture, Canaan was the son of Ham, right, or Ham. This here referring on a metaphysics to the fleshy organism and the tendencies of man. Now, lest one say, oh, that's a fleshy, but the flesh is very, very important. Otherwise, we who have spirit will be having a duppy experience. So now over that paradox right there, right? We both have this material, this flesh, right? But within it, right, is the spirit. And the two cohabiting even in the same spot. You know, they say two things can occupy. Well, all depending on what you mean by a thing, right? So the Canaan, it refers, according to the metaphysics, to the phi cycle, right? And not to the spiritual. By contrast, so the Canaanite within the scripture, right, defined as a merchant, right, because in ancient times they were merchants, some likened the Canaanites with the Phoenicians, and some of the academic consensus scholarship try to deny the obvious, right, but the Canaanite, the merchant, the Canaanite, the pirate, old pirate, yes, they rob, pirate, the Canaanite, also a trafficker in materiality. Because they were traffickers, they were merchants, right? Canaanite, one who exists in and for material things. So on a metaphysical level, like they call sometimes people who are not into culture, you know, they say, oh, you are Philistine. You might not have heard of that, right? Or somebody who is like a tough but hard-headed man, they might call him a Nimrod. You know what I mean? So on this level, a Canaanite, one who exists in and for material things, a merchant. A pirate, a trafficker in materiality. They were the inhabitants of the land of the Canaanu. At the time that the Bnei Yisrael, the Israelites, took possession of it and overcame the Canaanu, the Canaanites, according to Joshua, Yehoshua, chapter 9, verse 1. Now the Canaanites were descendants of Canaan, the son of Ham, the son of Ham, according to Genesis chapter 10, verses 15 to verse 19. Now, it's interesting because Canaan, according to his name and according to what we find true of archaeology and the evidence, ancient history, they did have a link with the Phoenicians, at least as being merchants, right? But think about this for a moment. Isn't a merchant, in a sense, you know, the servant of servants? Think about it. Isn't a merchant, we're onto something, Haberim, right here. Isn't a merchant right? A servant of servants. Think about it. Many of us, you know, we don't do these things for ourselves. A few ones and ones on the farm, on the land, and live off the land. But many of us, just in these cities, you know what I mean? You know, we got the money, got these promissory notes. You know, we can go and, you know, people believe the illusion and we can still get some of the things that we need, even though the money that don't got no backing to it, had no real intrinsic value, right? But the merchant brings the food and the goods and services, so forth and so on. And you know how you are for merchant. You figure, I got the money, I got the shekels. You know, you need these shekels, you know what I mean? And even in business, on the business side of it, the other side of the counter, they say the customer is always right. So think about it for a moment. Is not the merchant, right, in a way the servant of servants? And we will look at it in the true sense, not in white racism, white supremacy, counterfeit Christianity, white Anglo-Saxon pride. No, that's Babylon. Come out of her, my people. Just to point it out right there, there, there. Now, the metaphor cycle here of Canaan, right, of Canaan, right? Now, this is important for us to really understand. The elemental life forces, the elemental life forces, the natural life forces in the subconsciousness. You conscious? You ever peeped into your subconscious? It's important for us. We should all know our own subconsciousness, right? The elemental life forces, right, in the subconsciousness. Under sense thought, that's what we call the satana of the senses. You know what I mean? Because Satan, you know, there's Satan and there's satana. We learned this from studying the principles, the divine duality. The Satan of the senses is like the five foolish virgins. The five wives, they had the oil representing the spirit. Those without the spirit, the iris, right, were known as the foolish virgins. They didn't have enough oil in their lamps, right? We look at the five senses, right, under sense thought, right? That's what we mean when we say sensual thought or sensual, under sense thought. That means that, well, we have eyes and we see physically, but we have spiritual eyes we don't see, right? And we have ears we can hear physically, but spiritual ears we don't hear. Same thing with taste, touch, and smelling. So the elemental forces in the subconsciousness, under sense thought and sense or sensual expression, they are all that the meaning of Canaan implies. It's the lowland. Lowland is important land, otherwise you have no land, right? The Canaanites are delivered by Yahuwah, Jehovah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, into the hands of the Bnei Yisrael, into the hands of the sons of Israel, and by them are destroyed. Here it says, and the name of the place was called Horma. And the name of the place was called Horma. Horma is from the same root as we were mentioning, Harem. Well, it says it's harem or a harem. Harem, a devoted thing. Numbers chapter 21, verses 1 to 3, right? Now, the significance of this is that through our he who be who he be in I and we, Yahuwah, through he who be who he be, the Almighty, we gain control, we gain management, right? We gain authority of our subconscious elemental life forces. Then by means of the higher heights, the spiritual thinking that the true Israelites represent, these life forces come under the law, which is the Torah of spirit. Some Christians, they think the Torah is only talking about the Old Testament. We can prove to you that the Torah is an operative word and applies in the New Testament. In fact, we're going to do that just right here, you know, here on the air for Wisma, right? Wisdom Wednesday. So here, let's go to Romans chapter, just briefly. Please read and study the full of the chapter for yourself, right? Romans chapter 8, right? Romans chapter 8. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 right here. Yeah. So right here, Romans chapter 8 at verse 2, 8 and 2, it says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, in Moshiach, Yeshua, hath made me, I, free from the Torah of sin and death. So the word is used in two senses because there's more than one kind of direction instruction, right? Here we have in the Brit Hadasha sense for the Torah, the direction instruction of the spirit, the ruach of life, of chayim, in Mashiach, in the anointed Yeshua. Yeshua, he saves, Jah saves, salvation, Jah victory, hath made I and I free from the Torah of sin, of uckery, and death. So right there in the word, in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, Rabbi Saul, the apostle Paul, is bringing it out, right, that there is the Torah of the spirit of life. So in the New Covenant sense, when we talk about Torah, right, ultimately it is the Torah of the spirit of life, of the liberty, of living it out, right, living it. Right. So then by means of the high spiritual thinking represented by the Israelites, these life forces, they come under the law, the Torah of spirit of the Ruach. May the Ruach be with you, and are transmuted, right, into spiritual, right, irritical spiritual energy, right, spiritual energy. So here, brothers and sisters, just bringing out this Chorma, what occurred as Chorma. And what's interesting here, we just read for the fourth days Aliyah right here concerning Chorma. It's interesting when we contrast it with chapter 21. So in 14, chapter 14, 45, take note, Numbers chapter 14, 45 and Chorma. And then when we go to chapter 21, right, in chapter 21, what was the quote right there? Chapter 21, verses 1 to 3. Let's just go there and just compare and contrast. Right? Here it says, and when King Arad, the Canaanite, that dwelt in the south, heard tell that Yisrael came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Yisrael and took some of them prisoners. Now I want to just note right here, is that what we get is a contrast of the old and new generation. So we have a generation gap right here. So in Numbers chapter 14, verse 45, we have the old heads. We have the old generation. We have the generation that came out of Mitzrayim, out of the Egypta, Hekapita, out of Egypt, out of Kemet, right? And when we get to Numbers chapter 21, right, in connection with Chorma right here, chapter 21, verses 1, 2, 3, we are getting the new generation. I right? Just want you to note that right there. So we got the old heads, right, as Rasta elders used to say, Rastafari the elders said that Jah call upon the youths. He call upon the youths because they are strong. So we have a generation. So the generation gap here in the wilderness, even here in the wilderness of this north country, the Americas and the Caribbean. So here in chapter 21, we have the march of Yisrael. So now it's a new generation, the old generation, Aaron, Miriam, you know, all the old heads, the old generation is passing away. Now, Jah, remember what you said about the old heads? They were like saying, oh, well, we're doing it for the children, because the children, we go in there, they're going to be victims in the African-Canaanite land. Right. And Jah basically had them wander to death for 40 years. But the good news is they had, you know, fresh clothing on and fresh kicks and fresh shoes. That's what Jah says. He said your clothing didn't wear out and your shoes didn't wear out. And now he's bringing forward the new generation, giving the same instruction that the old heads were given. But they proved themselves unworthy. And the new generation is making moves in Numbers chapter 21, the march of Yisrael. The first item is the victory. And then it made to this King Arad, the Canaanite, who dwelt in the south. Right? In the south. Just going to put this on the record. We don't think that old Israel, the Israel we hear about here, the location was quite the location that they tell us, you know, of the beachfront property up in the north. the Philistines' land. But anyway, let's go to this right here. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, who dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. Now notice right here in Numbers chapter 21, verse 2, what the new generation is paying attention to the Torah teaching, right? Because it says that Israel, Yisrael, speaking about all Israel as one man, right, vowed a vow to Yahweh, and said, if thou, the I, wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. Verse 3, and Yahweh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, hearkened to the voice of Yisrael, Yasharallah, and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Horma. Now, this is making the connection right here. So we can even see at this very spot where some of the old heads were presumptuous, right? They admitted they messed up, but now they're going to do it their own way, right? They presumed to go up into the mount, right? They got smote, right? They got discomfited, and they got beat back to a place called Horma. And then we go chapters later in the same book in chapter 21, and we read about an Arad. So before we get off of this, let's touch on Arad. Who was Arad? Right? Arad, right? He is called, right? He's the king Arad, right? The Canaanite, right? Arad means fleeing. Arad in the Hebrew means a fugitive. Arad means a wild ass. Arad, fleeing. Arad, fugitive. Arad, wild ass. So a city of the Canaanites whose king came out against Israel when the Israelites were in the wilderness, the Midbar, on their way from Mitzrayim to the promised land in Numbers chapter 21 and 1. This king of Arad took some of the Israelites captive. Then, according to the scripture, says Yisrael. Notice here, sometimes it speaks to you all, and sometimes when John speaks to I and I, he speaks to all of us as one man, right? As one man. So we get a new covenant sense of we're all members of one body, and Moshiach is the Rosh, is the Ras, Messiah is our head, yes, and his head is Elohim Ha'ab, is Elohim the Father. Then Israel vowed a vow to Yahweh and said, if thou will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And Yahweh hearkened to the voice of Israel, that unity factor. We spoke all as one man, right? He delivered the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them in their cities, and the name of the place was called Horma, or utter destruction, extermination. Now, some interesting verses here for the Talmudim to take note of. Numbers chapter 21, verses 2 and 3. Also, Joshua chapter 12, verse 14. Judges chapter 1, verse 16. There's a Benjamite by the name of Arad, right? He was son of Beriah in 1 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 15. Just briefly here on Arad, because here we're getting a paradox, the two sides of it. The same word as it was applied, right, to the presumptuous Israelites, it's like they got beat back into an asylum because they were acting insane. You know, they was acting insane. And the Canaanites beat them back to Horma. But now you got their children, right, who now are getting instruction, the generation gap, right? And after a little incident, right, where he fought against, this king fought against us, right, and he took some of us prisoners, what did the people do, the new generation? They vowed together as one man, almost like Transformers. They all became like one man, all the parts as one man, right? And says, put it into my hand. You know, not even our hand, but my hand as one man, right? So Arad represents an aggregation of ignorant, right? Ignorant, destructive, subconscious thoughts about life. They are in opposition to the truth because he could have just, I don't know what he could have done, but he didn't have to do what he did, right? But the upbuilding thoughts, they're in opposition to the true and upbuilding thoughts and the true understanding of man, represented here by the B'nai Yisrael. And so must be overcome. Did you know that Yisrael, in going into Canaan, we had 31. We look at Africa and some of the difficulties there. But imagine going into a place and you have 31 nations. right? You got 31 kings, 31 kings, 31 kings. Israel has 31 kings, right, to deal with, right? And here's one, Arad, right? Arad, right? So he must be overcome. Arad, meaning fleeing. Arad, a fugitive. Arad, acts like a wild ass, a wild ass. A city whose inhabitants fought against Israel. Because you can see, according to the narrative, they fought because they heard about us. You know what I mean? And they believed in Kemet and in Egypt. And, you know, they thought they could do something. Arad was, quote, in the place he was, in the Negev. He was in the south, right? Now, in the metaphysics of this, this means he was in the subconsciousness. The Canaanites signify in man the El, lamental, right? The natural, right? The Netrael, the elemental life forces in the subconscious mind. Now, we have another Arad, right? See the context, the root meaning of the word, and in this spirit, in this sense, and then according to that spirit, that sense. So we had Arad the Canaanite. Now we have Arad who was a Benjamite. He was a son of Beriah. Now Beriah, some bring the translation out as misfortune or evil, right? He lived in Jerusalem. Now he represents a negative belief, a negative credit in Shalom, a negative admittance in Salam, a negative belief in peace. This negative thought, because of not being positive in knowing the unreality. So this negative thought, because it's not being positive in the gnosis and knowing of the unreality, that which is not real, and nothingness of apparent evil. Apparent evil is an unreality, it's nothingness, right? Flees from error, fleeing a fugitive, instead of overcoming it. You over the difference now? So we have these two Arads. Even the Arad, the Benjamite, brings out an important truth and teaching, right? He lives in Jerusalem. He represents a negative credit in Shalom, a negative admittance in Salam, a negative belief in peace. This negative thought, and all of us do have this Arad mentality, right? Because of it's not being a positive vibration, a positive thought in the knowing, the gnosis of the unreality and the nothingness of what appears the apparent evil. It flees from error, right? It runs away from error, you know what I mean? Instead of overcoming it. You know, I hear some people say that, yeah, I like the bully. I like to deal with the bully. I like to knock out the bully. Right, this one ran from the bullet because, you know, the biggest man you ever did see was. So instead of overcoming, they flee from error. So we can see the contrast in the old heads coming out of Egypt. They kind of ran away from apparent evil. But the younger generation, even after getting a little setback, what they do, they vowed. Right? The vow. You have the vow of the Nazarite. They vowed, right? They vowed. They said, if you do this, this is what we will do. And surely, when John fulfilled his word, they kept covenant and they fulfilled their word.
For making the one stop, the generation gap. The generation gap. The generation.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me?
Yes, 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 a generation gap. So here, let's write today's daily psalm, Psalm 26, to get a good groundation in this Torah reading and feeding. Me thinks, I thinks, and enough of, you know, some of I now think that there's a powerful application of the principles here in the Israelites and their wilderness journey coming out of Egypt, and even we black people over here in the Americas and the Caribbean, you know, so over the past 100 years, right, from even this 2022, go back 100 years, you go back to the roaring 20s, you know, both then and now. And particularly, even with the land grant, right, of Ketamali, Hana Selassie, to we, the black people of the world, think about Shashamani, Malakota, right, and various things that were done, even by I and I people, even some of the good, right, and the beautiful, and some of the bad and the ugly, how they match, right, according to what is written here. It says all these things were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends, right, upon whom the ends of the world have come. So here, brothers and sisters, we have like two minutes, right, before we ride up right here in the third eye. We're here, still have a psalm, today's daily psalm. Interesting theme, Habarim, here. A plea of the upright. It has been suggested that there's a time in Iowa of national calamity. Today's daily psalm, Psalm 26. This was the occasion of this touching psalm, this chant. Now, based on that perspective or hypothesis, a pestilence is said to have been raging in the land that threatened the righteous and the wretched alike. A pestilence was raging in the land that threatened the righteous and the wretched alike. And conscious of his integrity here, Psalm is Lid David of David, conscious of his integrity, his straightforwardness, right? The psalmist and I prays to be spared. Now, the Targum, the Targum, the interpretation, some might say may not be convincing, and that it's more satisfactory. Okay, we got 90 seconds, y'all. It's more satisfactory. Right, hold on right here. Yeah, it's more satisfactory. Give me one moment. We usually like to have some of these things right here. Just call in on the backup as well. So call in 515-602-9761, or check us out on the Rastafari Israelite on the YouTube. Rastafari Israelite. 60 seconds, got a 60-second mark right here for the Wednesday, Wisdom Wednesday. So others say that a more satisfactory, right, reading of the composition is as voicing the uneasiness that a good man, a man or a woman, male or female, that a good person, one who's inclined to the good, to do good, inevitably feels or perceives in the midst of evil, in the midst of all that rah-rah. His or her steadfastness is tested, is tried, is tested. And he or even she has a sense of insecurity. One's mind seems to be beset by doubts, trouble, tribulation. Now, in such circumstances and such situations, he or she instinctively turns to Ha'elohim, Ha'el, to the Almighty, going to the innermost of the innocence for that moral, that true morality, as well as that physical, that five-cycle support. So it's interesting what we have in today's daily psalm, some of the verse sections, 1-3, the plea to be judged. Now, judgment in the Hebrew is not quite like we get to, you know, like we're made to be naive, made to believe in the English. Judgment is just weighing. You know, you go someplace and you buy something and it's sold by weight, and therefore, you know, it's put on the scales. You just want to make sure the scales are balanced, and you just want to know just what it weighs. That's what judgment in that sense. That's how we approach judgment, in that basic level of weighing, you know, just weighing. Right. So we have the plea and appeal to be judged, right, and to be righteously weighed, right, in verses 1-3. In verses 4-8, there's self-vindication, right? There's a sense of self-vindication in verses 4-8, right, 4-8. And we go through these irritical ebbs and flows, right? So it's always good to know. In verses 9-12, right, we have the prayer. Right, the prayer being renewed, So here, today's daily psalm, Psalm 26. Here, let's just ride up with the English right here. Here on Nyabingi flutes, drums, reggae, this instrumental right here. Yes, I, Rastafari.
Psalm 26. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart.
For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord.
مزمور 25 بقلف 26 يداويت مزمور አቤቱ እኔ በየዋሃቴ ሄጃለሁና ፍረድልኝ በእግዚአብሔርም አመኛለሁና አልናወጥ አቤቱ ፍተነኝ መርምረኝ ኩላሊቴንና ልቤን ፍተን ምህረትህ በአይኔ ፊት ነውና በእውነትህም ተመላለስ በከንቱ ሸንጎ አልተቀመጥኩ ካመጸኞችም ጋር አልገባሁ የክፉዎችን ማህበር ጠላሁ ከዝንጎችም ጋር አልቀመጥም እጆቼን በንጽህና አጥባለሁ አቤቱ መሠዊያህን እዞራለሁ የምስጋናን ድምፅ እሰማ ዘንድ ታምራትህንም ሁሉ እነግር ዘንድ አቤቱ የቤትህን ስፍራ የክብርህንም ማደሪያ ቦታ ወደድሁ ከኃጢአተኞች ጋር ነፍሴን ከደም ሰዎችም ጋር ሕይወቴን አታጥፋ በእጃቸው ተንኮል አለባቸው ቀኛቸውም መማለጃ ተሞልታለች እኔ ግን በየዋሃቴ ሄጃለሁ አድነኝ ማረኝም እግሮቼ በቅንነት ቆመዋልና አቤቱ በማህበር አመሰግንሃለሁ
Shalanta, Tenayestalin, greetings, Yezare Mezmor, today's psalm, Mezmor Haya Sidist, from the Mezmor of Dawit, the Book of the Seven Seals of Kurmawi Kurmawi, Haile Selassie, from the Authorized, Revised, Amharic Bible, we have Yenisuh So Tselot, Yenisuh So Tselot, prayer of an innocent man, prayer of the upright. Yet Dawit Mezmor, a psalm of David. Kuteran, verse 1. Abetu, ine be yawahate hejalahuna, fredalin, be exiavirimma amyalahuna al nawet. Judge I, O Abetu, I father's father, O father of the house. Ine be yawahate hejalahuna, for I have walked in mine integrity. Ine be yawahate hejalahuna, fredalin. Judge I for Red Daling, judge for I. The Egziabi Rimma Amyalhuna Al Nawitim. I have trusted in Egziabi, the sustainer, the good, the generous Ab Father. Therefore I shall not slide Al Nawitim. Uter Hulet, verse 2. Avetu, Fitteneng, Mera Merenyim, Kulalite Na Levena Fitten. Examine I. Abetu, I father's father, O father of the house. Maram renyim. And prove I, examine I, test I, investigate I. Kulalite na levena fiten. Try my kidneys, my emotions, and my heart, and my mind. Kulalite na levena fiten. Kuter source, verse 3. mihiretih ba'ayne fitna winna ba'unetihim temelal lesuhu. For thy loving kindness is before my eyes, mihiretih ba'ayne fitna winna. And I have walked in thy truth, in thy reality, ba'unetihim temelal lesuhu kuter arat. Bekentu shengo al tekemetuhu. I have not sat with vain persons. Bekentu shengo in a vain shengo assembly. I have not sat. Neither will I go in with dissemblers, with rebels. With the lawless. Amist. Verse 5. Yekufu chinna machibra tela, kazin guochim magara ala kemetim. I have hated, objectively speaking, I have hated yekufu chin machibra telahu. I've hated the congregation of evildoers, kazin guochim gara ala kemetim. And will not sit with the wicked, with the hypocrites, kazin guochim gara ala kemetim. Kuter Siddist, verse 6. Ejochin be nitzhina at abalu, havetu. Mesawiyahin zoralu. I will wash mine hands in innocency. Ejochin, my hands, ejochin be nitzhina at abalu. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, our dear to thy father, his father, O father, O Ab of the house. Masawiyahin zoralu. I will go about thine altar. Kuter Sabbat, verse 7. Ye miskanana dimtsai samazen, tamratihinim ohulu negerzen, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving, the voice of miskana, of thanks and praise. Ye miskanana dimtsai samazen, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving. Ye miskanana dimtsai samazen, tamratihinim ohulu negerzen. And that I may tell in Negerzen, that I may tell of all thy wondrous works. Hamrat in Nim Hulu in Negerzen. Kuter Cement, verse 8. Abetu. Yabetehina Sifra, Yekubrinim Maderia Bota Wededuhu. Lord, Abetu, my father, his father, O father of the house, Abetu, Yabetehina Sifra. I have loved the habitation of thy house, Yabetahinna Sifra, and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Yekubrahinimma Madariya Bota Wadeddahu. Kuter Zeteng, verse 9. Kahat Yatenyo Chigara Nefsin, Kadema Sawochim Gara Hiwetin Atatifa. Gather not my soul, destroy not my soul with the uckers, with the sinners, with the lackers, kahat yaten yochgara nesein, nor my life with bloody men, kadem sawochim gar he waten atatfa. Kuter Aser, verse 10. Be jacho aten kwela lebacho, kenyacho wima memaleja temol talech. In whose hands is mischief, bejacho tenkuela lebacho, and their right hand is full of bribes, kenyacho wimme maleja temola talech. Kutarasaraan, verse 11. Enegin beyohatehe jalo, adnenye marenyem. But as for me, enegin, I will walk in mine integrity, beyohatehe jalo, redeem me, save me, adnenye, and be merciful to me, marenyem. Enegin beyohatehe jalo, adnenye marenyem. Verse 12. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations, the aggregation, the society, will I bless,
Avir to my father, his father, or father of the house. Avir to be machiver. Amesagin halo be machiver. Machiver, the congregation, the machiver, the society. Avir to be machiver. Amesagin halo. 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 Amesagin halo.
መዝሙር 25 በቅንፍ 26 የዳዊት መዝሙር። አቤቱ እኔ በየዋሃቴ ሄጃለሁና ፍረድልኝ፣ በእግዚአብሔርም አምኛለሁና አልናወጥም። አቤቱ ፍተነኝ መርምረኝም፣ ኩላሊቴንና ልቤን ፍተን። ምህረትህ በዓይኔ ፊት ነውና በእውነትህም ተመላለሱ። በከንቱ ሸንጎ አልተቀመጥሁም፣ ከአመፀኞችም ጋር አልገባሁም። የክፉዎችን ማኅበር ጠላሁ፣ ከዝንጎዎችም ጋር አልቀመጥም። እጆቼን በንጽሕና አጥባለሁ። አቤቱ መሠዊያህን እዞራለሁ፣ የምስጋናን ድምፅ እሰማ ዘንድ ታምራትህንም ሁሉ እነግር ዘንድ። አቤቱ የቤትህን ስፍራ የክብርህንም ማደሪያ ቦታ ወደድሁ። ከኀጢአተኞች ጋር ነፍሴን ከደም ሰዎችም ጋር ሕይወቴን አታጥፋ። በእጃቸው ተንኰል አለባቸው፣ ቀኛቸውም መማለጃ ተሞልታለች። እኔ ግን በየዋሃቴ ሄጃለሁ፣ አድነኝ ማረኝም፣ እግሮቼ በቅንነት ቆመዋልና። አቤቱ በማኅበር አመሰግንሃለሁ።
Elect up the light of this world. Remember now, lines of King David, Ark of the Covenant, Hebrew language, and you must, little children of the world, learn the Ashanti language, learn the ancient Hebrew language.
Hebrew, boy, everything takes time.
מזמור כ"ו לדוד. שופטני אדוני, כי אני בתומי הלכתי, ובאדוני בטחתי לא אמעד. בחנני אדוני ונשאני, שרפה חיליותי ולבי. יחסדך לנגד עיניי, והתהלכתי בעמיתך. לא ישבתי עם מתי שווא, ועם נעלמים לא אבוא. שנאתי קהל מרעים, ועם רשעים לא אשב. הרחץ בניקיון כפיי, ואסובבה את מזבחך, אדוני. לשמיע בקול תודה, ולספר כל נפלאותיך. אדוני, אהבתי מעון ביתך, ומקום משכן כבודך. אל תאסוף עם חטאים נפשי, ועם אנשי דמים חיי. אשר בידיהם זימה, ומינם מלאה שוחד. ואני בתומי אלך, פדני וחונני. רגלי עמדה ומישור, במקהלים אברך אדוני.
לדוד. שופטני אדוני, כי אני בתומי הלכתי, ואדוני בטחתי לא אמעד. וחונני אדוני ונשאני, שרף חיליותי וליבי. יחסדך לנגד עיניי, התהלכתי בעמיתך. לא ישבתי עם מתי שווא, ועם נעלמים לא אבוא. שנאתי קהל מרעים, ועם רשעים לא אשב. ארחץ בניקיון כפיי, ואסובבה את מזבחך אדוני. אשמיע בקול תודה, וספר כל נפלאותיך. אדוני, אהבתי מעון ביתך, במקום משכן כבודך. אל תאסוף עם חטאים נפשי, ועם אנשי דמים חיי. אשר בידיהם זימה, ומינם עליה שוחד. ואני בתומי עינך, עדני וחונני, רק לי עמדה במישור במקלים, אברך אדוני.
Mizmor Kaf Wow. Psalm 26, Psalm XXVI. Today's Psalm, Mizmor Kaf Wow. A Psalm of David. Judge me, O Lord. Le David. Shafteini Yahuwah. Judge me, judge I. Shafteini Yahuwah. Shafteini Yahuwah. Judge I, O Jehovah, O he who be, who he be. Here, here, here. Today's psalm, first part of the Aleph, the first verse Hebraically, of David, Le David, Shafteini Yahuwah, Judge I, Shafteini Yahuwah, O Jehovah. But did not David also say, even in Psalm 143:2, enter not into judgment with thy servant? Did not David say, even here in Mizmor Kof Mem Gimel Kof Mem Gamel, Psalm 143, Psalm CXLII, here, the bait verse, Wa'al Tavo B'Mishpata Eta Avdeka, and enter not, Wa'al Tavo, and I enter not, Wa'al Tavo. Well, tavo, into judgment, be mishpat, enter not into judgment, et avdeka, with abdeka, with the I, male servant. Did not David say, enter not into judgment with thy servant, in Psalm 143, verse 2? The two verses here, they mean that David said to HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, said to the Holy One, the Sanctified, the Set Apart One, the Isle One, Blessed be He, Baruch Hu, Ribon, Shel HaOlamim, Master of the Universe, Universal Master, judge me, judge I, when thou judgest Harasha, the Ratchet, the Defiant, Harasha, but enter not into judgment of me, of I, when the I judges HaTzadik, judges the righteous, HaTzadikim, the righteous ones. And here, Midrash note on today's Psalm, Mizmor Kaf Wow, Psalm 26. David was afraid of the contrast between him and HaTzadik, and the righteous, the righteous one, HaTzadikim, the righteous ones. So, Lot did not wish to live near Abraham, because the contrast between them was extreme. Here, Midrash note, to David, to what David said in these two verses, the opening verse, a psalm of David, Shafteini Yahuwah, judge I, O Jehovah. But did not David also say, Wal tavo b'mishpat et avdeka, enter not into judgment with thy servant, in Psalm 143, verse 2. The two verses mean that David said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribon Shel HaOlamim, judge me, judge I, Shafteini, when thou the eye judges harasha, the ratchet, the defiant ones, the wicked. But enter not into judgment. Ve'al tabo b'mishpat. Enter not into judgment of me, Eli, when thou, the eye, judges the righteous. Here, the Midrash note, he was afraid of the contrast between him and the righteous. So Lot did not wish to live near Abraham, because the contrast between them was extreme. Here, Bereshith Rabbah, Genesis Rabbah 50 and 11. Or they mean that David said these two verses, Psalm 26 verse 1 and Psalm 143 and 2, judge me, O Jehovah, shafteini Yehovah, when thou art proceeding in judgment of me, of I. But once having judged me, judged I, do not again enter into judgment of me, do not again enter into judgment of I. Another comment. Consider what scripture says elsewhere. Zehu she'amar hakatub. Even in the Mashal and Proverbs, Mishle Shlomo. Proverbs chapter 12 verse 1 that reads, whoso loveth correction, loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Whoso loveth correction, loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Brute-ish. Hear. Mishle Shlomo, the Proverbs of Solomon, the Yod Beit, chapter 12, hear, the first verse. Ohei musar, ohei da'at, we sonei atokachata ba'ar, whoso loveth knowledge, ohei musar, ohei, one who loves musar, who loves correction, ohei, one who loves da'at, whoso loveth knowledge, loveth correction, or ohe musar, ohe da'at. Whoso loveth correction, discipline, musar, ohe musar, ohe da'at. With sonei atokahata ba'ar, but he that is brutish hateth reproof. With sonei, and the hater, sonei, with sonei, tokahat, reproof. Ba'ar, is brutish. And here on the ba'ar, the brutish, a person in whom animal instincts overrule the spiritual, the irritical elements. Trite as the words seem, they point to a deep law in the philosophy of human history. The difference between man, the true man, and brute, and the brutish, it lay chiefly in the capacity of the former, the ish, the true man, for progress and improvement. And that capacity depends upon his willingness to submit to discipline, to musar and education, and to love oheb da'at, and to love knowledge. Oheb musar, oheb da'at, with sone tokahata ba'ar, whoso loveth discipline, musar, correction, loveth da'at, knowledge. And he that hateth with sonei tokahat, reproof, ba'ar, is brutish. Four are mentioned in Scripture as having been smitten. One, upon being smitten, rebelled. One, upon being smitten, laughed. One, upon being smitten, sought his friend. And one asked, why? Lamazeh, why is the lash held back? Strike me again. The first one who was smitten rebelled. This was Eob. This was Job. When he was smitten, he rebelled, saying, even here in Eob and Job, Job chapter 10, verse 10 to verse 13, I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, do not condemn me. Show me, therefore, wherefore thou contendest with me, with I. Is it good to thee, to the eye, that thou shouldest oppress? Is it good to the eye that the eye shouldest downpress? Edabra b'mar nafshi, omar el Eloha ala tarishaini, hod'aini alma terveni, hetov leka ki ata shok. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Edabra b'mar nafshi, I will speak, edabra, Dabra, I will speak. Bimar, in the bitterness, the mar, bimar, nafshi, of my soul, of my psyche. Dabra, bimar, nafshi. Omar, illa Eloha, Allah tarisha'ini, I will say to Eloha, to God, Eloha, Omar, illa Eloha, do not condemn me. Allah tarisha'ini, al tarisha'ini, do not condemn me. Hoda'ini, alma teriveni, make me know wherefore thou contendest with me. Hoda'ini, cause me to know. Hoda'ini, alma, on what? Alma, alma teriveni, alma teriveni, teriveni, thou contendest with me. Hitov leka, is it good for the eye, to the eye? Hitov leka, hitov leka, is it good to the eye, for the eye? Ki ata ishok, that thou shouldest downpress. Ki ata ishok. Edabra bimar nafshi, omar ila eloha, ala tarre shayni, hodayni, alma terebeini, hitov leka, ki ata ishok. Wherefore, why? Wherefore am I smitten? What have I done to thee? What have I done to the eye? Tell me wherein I sin. Tell me wherein and what I've ucked up. Eob, Job, chapter 13, verse 23. How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Kamalia evonota wechataota, pishaia wechataatia hodaini. How many for me? Kama, kamali, 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 how many for me? Eonot, iniquities, evonot, iniquities, perversenesses. Kamali, eonota, we chataot, and chataot, and sins and uckeries, missing the mark, chataot, pishai, my transgression, pishai, we chatati, and my sin, my uckery, pishai, we chatati, hodaini, cause me to know. Hodaini, kamali, eonota, we chataota, pishai, we chatati, hodaini. I know that thine is the power, and that thou dost this to me, not for any injustice in my hands. O earth, cover not thou my blood, and make my cry have no resting place. Hear. Eob, Job, chapter 16, verse 17 to verse 18. I know that thine is the power, and that thou dost this to me, according to the words of Eob, not for any injustice in my hands. O earth, cover not thou my blood, and let my cry have no resting place. Al lo hamasa bikapai, ua tiflati azaka, ereta ala tikasia, dami, with ala yihia makoma le azaikati. Although there is no violence in my hands, al lo hamas bikapai, upon no violence in my hand. Al lo hamas bikapai, although there is no violence, hamas, no hamas bikapai, in my palms, in my hands. U tefillati zaka, u tefillati zaka, and my prayer, tefillati zaka, is pure. Eretz ala tikasi dami, O earth, eretz ala tikasi, don't cover dami, cover not thou my blood. Eretz ala tikasi dami, wa ala yehiya makoma le zaikati, and let my cry, my shriek, zaikati, zaikati, my shriek, my cry, have no resting place. Wa ala yehi makom le zaikati. Al lo hamasa bikapai, ua tefilati azaka, eret ala tikasi dami, wa ala yehi makoma le zaikati. Thus, like this, thus spoke the one who, upon being smitten, rebelled. The second one, who was smitten, laughed. This was Abraham. This was Abraham, of whom it is said, even in Bereshith, in Genesis chapter 17, verse 17, when Abraham fell upon his face, he laughed. When Abraham fell upon his face, he laughed. Wayipola Abraham alapanayo wayitzhak. Then Abraham fell upon his face. Wayipol Abraham alapanayo and laughed. Wayitzhak and he laughed. Wayipol Abraham alapanayo wayitzhak. Here, the Midrash note, the context of the verse cited has to do not with suffering, but with good news. But it may be that Abraham's prone position indicates that he was being smitten. Abraham's laughter at the revelation that Sarah was going to conceive a son would seem to indicate that he regarded it as a jest rather than as good news, and a rather cruel jest with which he was being smitten. Adonai and Abraham, with whom may they be compared? And here, Midrash note right here. Read, Abraham and the glory of Yahuwah, of Jehovah. Abraham and the glory of Adonai, or Yahuwah and Abraham, the Lord and Abraham. With whom may they be compared? With a man and Beno and his son, Lijah. The man, beating his son, swore that he would continue to beat him, saying, Beni, my son, I have sworn that I would continue beating thee. The son replied, Thine is the power. The father continued beating his son, thinking that his son would say, I have had enough. Dai, dai, beka, beka, I've had enough. As the son was smitten more and more, however, the father finally said, Enough of beating him. Even so, it is said, even in Bereshit, even in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, Yahuwah, Jehovah appeared to Abram and said to him, Ani El Shaddai, I am El, the true good, the true God. Ani El Shaddai. Shaddai, that is, it is enough. Shaddai, Shaddai. And here, Midrash note, by a slight change in vocalization, Shaddai may be read Shaddai, Shaddai, Shaddai. Shaddai, Shaddai may be read Shaddai, Shaddai, so that it is enough, dai, dai, enough, Shaddai, Shaddai, so that it is enough. I am also he who said of thy trial, Shaddai, dai, dai, it is enough, Becca, Shaddai, dai. The third one who upon being smitten, sought his friend, was Hezekiah, of whom it is said, even in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 2, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to Jehovah. And the fourth asked, Why is the lash held back? Strike me again. This was David, who said, Judge me, O Lord. Shafteini, judge I, O Jehovah. As Shlomo said, as Solomon said, Whoso loveth correction, loveth knowledge. Ohev musar, ohev da'at. Whoso loveth correction, discipline. Ohev musar, ohev, one who loves musar, musar, correction, musar, discipline. Ohev da'at. Loveth knowledge, da'at. Ohev musar, ohev da'at. And as David said, even in Psalm 94, Hebraically the 12th verse, Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. Ashrei hagever, asher teyasareinu, ya Ua miyatorateka te alamadeinu. Happy is the man. Ashrei hagever. Happy is the giver. Happy is the man. Ashrei hagever. Asherat yasareinu ya. Whom thou instructest. Asher tiyasareinu. Tiyasareinu. Whom thou instructest. Whom thou chastenest. Whom thou disciplinest. Asher tiyasareinu. Ya. O cha. Happy is the man whom thou instructest. O cha. Ashrei hagever. Asher tiyasareinu. Ya. U amitorateka te lamedeni. And teachest. And teachest. Tilamedeinu, tilamedeinu, and teach us out of thy law, out of thy Torah. Ua mia torateka, u and me from torateka, ua mi torateka, tilamedeinu. Happy, happy, happiness is hagever, is the man. Ashrei hagever, asher tiyasareinu, ya. Ua mia torateka tilamedein, 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 tilamedein.
Live by the Torah and the wicked as a crumble, Abbey Bible. Shout up two songs and the wicked them tremble. Live by Abbey Bible. Shout up two songs and the wicked them tremble. Live by the Torah and the wicked as a crumble, Abbey.
Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Hear, hear, hear. Today's daily psalm, Mizmor Kaf Wow, Kaf Vav, Psalm 26. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Hear, hear, hear. Hebraically, the bait, the second verse. Bichaneni, Yahuwah, witnaseni, examine I. Bichaneni, O Jehovah, Yahuwah, and prove me, and prove I. Witnaseni. David said, prove me, prove I, Yahuwah, as thou didst prove Abraham, of whom the verse, even in Bereshith in Genesis, Genesis chapter 22 and 1 reads, God did prove Abraham. Vayehi achar hadevarim haele v'elohim nisa et Abraham. And it came to pass after these things that ha Elohim haelehim, the power did prove Abraham. Vayehi achar hadbarim haele with haElohim nisa et Abraham. This shows that Abraham stood up to his proving. Prove me, prove I, as thou the I disprove Yitzhak, Isaac, who being proved on ha mizbeach on the altar stood up to it. And I, am I without merit? Sarofa kiliotai veli bi. Try my reins and my heart. Sarfa kiliotai veli bi. Try my reins, my kidneys. Sarfa kiliotai. And my heart veli bi. Hear, hear the bait verse, the second verse of today's psalm. Mizmor kafav, kafav, Psalm 26. Hear the second verse Hebraically. Dawit. David said, try me as thou didst try Yosef, Joseph, Sarfa kiliotai wilibi. Him thou didst try with Potiphar's Isha, Eshet, Orset, with Potiphar's wife, and found him valiant, powerful, strong. For it is said, even in Psalm 105, Hebrews 19 verse, the word of the Lord tried him. The word of the Lord tried him. Ad eit bo devaro imrat Yahuwah tzirafatuhu. Fuller verse, until the time, ad eit, that his word came to pass. Ad eit bo devaro, the word of Jehovah, imrat Yahuwah, tested him. Tzirafatuhu. Ad eit bo devaro imrat Yahuwah tzirafatuhu. The word of Jehovah tested him. Imrat Yahuwah tzirafatuhu. But while Hailahim ha Elohim, the power, the true good, the true God, was proving David, he said, I have no strength to endure. I beg that I be lenient with me. Even here, Psalm 17, he breaks with the third verse that reads, Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast come to me in the night. Thou hast tried me and findest little strength. Bachanta libi, pakata laila, tsraftani balatinza. Thou hast tried my heart. Bachanta libi, thou hast visited it in the night. Pakata laila, thou hast tested me, tested I. Tsraftani. Sarafta ani I, sarafta ni, and thou findest not, baltin tsa, and thou findest not, and findest little strength. And here the Midrash note here on this quote from Psalm 17, Hebrew the third verse, referring to the previous Midrash, the Midrash from the Sefer Midrash Tehillim, from the Midrash, the study of the Psalms, Psalm 17, the seventh section, Psalm 17.7. From this we learn that a man should never pit himself against men greater than he, and should never say, I vouch for my heart. From this, hear, Shema Yisrael. From this we learn that a man should never pit himself against men greater than he, and should never, ever, never say, I vouch for my heart. For if David, who had so many, enough virtues, that he could say, Here, even in the words of today's daily psalm, Psalm 26, verses 4 to verse 6a, Hebraically, he could say, Thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with men of falsehood, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the assembly of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency. Lo yashabti, eima meite yashav. V'ima na elamima lo avo. Saneti kahala miraima wa'ima rishaima lo eshev. Erchata be nikayon kapai. I have not sat with men of falsehood. Lo yashabti aima mite shav. Lo yashabti aim mite shav. Or lo yashabti aim mite shav. Neither will I go in with dissemblers, wa'im na elamim lo avo, wa'im na elamim lo avo. I hate saneti the gathering, saneti kahal, the gathering, the assembly, in the new covenant sense, the church, saneti kahal mitra'im. I hate the gathering, the assembly of evildoers, saneti kahal mitra'im. And I will not sit, and will not sit with the wicked, with the ratchet. Ve'im rishaim lo eshev. I will wash my hands in innocency. Erchat be'nikayon kapai. I wash kapai, the palms of my hands. Be'nikayon, in innocency. Erchata nikayon na kapai. If finally, even David turned to Ha Elohim, to Hailahim, to the power, true good, true God, and pleaded, even in the words of Psalm 143, Hebraically the second, the bait verse, he pleaded, Enter not into judgment with thy servant. Enter not into judgment with thy servant. Ve'al tavo ve'mishpata et avdecha. And enter not into judgment with thy servant. We'al tabo be mishpata et abdeka. and enter not into judgment with thy servant. With al tabor b'mishpat et abdeka. How much more and more, how much more and more ought men, ought other men so plead? How much more and more ought other men so plead? And so too, Shlomo, Solomon. Solomon said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Holy One, blessed be He, Ribon Shel HaOlamim, Master of the Universe, and a virtual master. When a king, when a melech, a negus, hires diligent workmen, and they do their work well, they do their work well, and he gives them their pay, should HaMelech, should the king, the negus, be praised? When is he to be praised? When he hires slothful workers, but gives them their pay in full. And Shlomo, Solomon went on to say, Our fathers worked diligently and received good pay. What kindness of thine was in this, that they worked and were paid? Slothful workers, lazy workers, slothful workers we, slothful workers I, yet give us good pay. And that would be thy great kindness. Hence, here, Shlomo, Solomon said, even in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 57, the Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers, as he was with our patriarchs. Wehi Yahuwah Eloheinu, Imanu, Ka'asha Haya, Im Avotenu, Allah Ya'azabenu, Allah Yitashenu. Here. Full of verse, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 57. Yahuwah, he who be, who he be, Eloheinu, I and I power, true good, true God. Yahuwah Eloheinu, be with us, be with I and I, Imanu, as he was with our fathers, Avotenu. Make him not leave us, nor forsake us, nor forsake I and I. Wehi Yahuwah Eloheinu Imanu, Ka'asha Haya Im Abotenu, Al Ya'azabenu, Wa'ala Yitashen. I, David, have hated the assembly of evildoers. Hear. Today's Psalm, Mizmor Kaf. Wow. Kaf Vav, Kaf Wow. Psalm 26, Psalm XXVI. Hear, Hebraically, the fifth verse. Saneti ekahala miraim. I, David, have hated the assembly of evil doers. Saneti kahal miraim. What assembly of evil doers? Maze. What kahal gathering, assembly, New Testament sense church. What assembly of miraim? Saneti kahal miraim. What kahal of evildoers, the one of which it is said even in Shemot, in Exodus chapter 32, verse 1, the people gathered themselves to Aharon. The people gathered themselves to Aaron at the making of the molten calf. And also the one of which it is said even in Bamidbar, in Numbers chapter 16, verse 19, Korah assembled, all the congregation against them. Korah assembled all the congregation against them. And here, Shemot 32, first part of verse 1 right here. Wayar ha'amayim aboshesh Moshe le redeta mina ha'har wayikahel ha'ama al Aharon. And when the people saw that Moshe delayed to come down from the mount, wayar ha'am ki aboshesh Moshe la redeta mina ha'har, the people gathered wayikahel ha'am. The people gathered themselves together to Aaron, al Aharon, or against Aaron, al Aharon. Wayara ha'am, ki avoshesha Moshe la redeta mina ha'har, wayikahel ha'am, al Aharon. And here, Bamidbar, here, Numbers chapter 16, here, verse 19. Wayakahel elehem akoracha, etakola ha eda illa petacha ohella moeda wayera kavod Yahuwah il kol ha eda. And Korah Korach, assembled, I assembled, gathered, Wayakahel, Wayakahel, assembled all the congregation against them to the door of the tent of meeting. Wayakahel Elehem Korach il kol ha'eda il petach ohel moed. And the glory of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, appeared to all the congregation. Vayera kavod Yahuwah il kol ha'eda. And what assembly do I love? What gathering do I love? The one of that, it is written, even in Shemot, in Exodus chapter 35, verse 1, that reads, Moshe, Moses, assembled all the congregation of the children of Israel and said to them, these are the words that the Lord hath commanded. Hear, Shemot, Exodus chapter 35, verse 1. And hear, Shemot, Vayakahel Moshe et kol la'edat b'nei Yisrael. Vayomer lehem, eile hadevarim, asher tziwah Yahuwah la'esot otam. And Moshe assembled, and Moses gathered. Vayakahel Moshe et kol edat b'nei Yisrael. All the congregation, the edat of the b'nei, the sons of Yisrael. Vayomer lehem, and said to them, Eile hadevarim, asher tziwah Yahuwah la esot otam. These are the words, eile, these hadevarim, the words, eile hadevarim, asher, that which tziwah Yahuwah, that he who be who he be has commanded, tziwah Yahuwah la esot otam, that ye, that y'all should do them, la esot otam. Vayakahel Moshe et kol edat b'nei Yisrael, vayomer ilehem, Eile hadevarim asher tziwa Yahuwah la esot otam. And also the one of that, it is said, even in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 1, that reads, Then Shlomo, Solomon, assembled, gathered, the elders of Yisrael of Israel, and all the heads of the tribes, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Aza yakahel Shlomo et ziknei Yisrael et kol rashei yahamatota nisiei yahabota libnei Yisrael el hamelek Shlomo Yerushalayim li ha elota et Aharon avrit Yahuwah meir David hi Zion. Here, the fuller verse, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 1. Then Solomon assembled, gathered, the elders of Israel, the elders of Yisrael. Az Yakahel Shlomo et Ziknei Yisrael. And all the heads of the tribes, and all the chiefs of the tribes, the heads of the tribes, et kol Rashe, the Rasses, et kol Rashe Hamatot, of the tribes, the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers, Nisiei Avot, of the B'nai Yisrael, to King Melech Shlomo in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, out of the city of David, the city of David, that is, Zion. Az Yakahel Shlomo et Ziknei Yisrael, et kol Rashe HaMatot, Nisiei Yahavota Livnei Yisrael, Ilha Melech Shlomo Yerushalayim, Li ha elot et aron avrit Yahuwah meir David, he Zion, city of David, she is Zion, she is Zion. And I would not sit with the wicked, and I would not sit sata with the ratchet. Hear today's psalm, Mizmor Kaf Wav, Psalm 26, Hebraically hear the second part of verse 5. Ve'im rishaim lo eshev. Wa'im Rishayim Lo Eshev. And with the wicked, Wa'im Rishayim, with the Rishayim, with the ratchet, Lo, no, Eshev. Lo Eshev, Lo Eshev. I will not sit with Korach, with Korah and his company, whom Moses meant when he said, even in Bamidbar, in Numbers chapter 16, at verse 26, when Moses said, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked, the tents of these ratchet men. Vaydaber el ha'edah lemor, suruna me'ala aholei ha'nashim ha'rishayim ha'ele, ve'ala tigua b'kol asher lahem, pena Atiya Safua Bikola Chatotam. Here, here, the fuller verse by Midbar. Numbers chapter 16, here, verse 26. And he spoke to the congregation, the aggregation, saying, Why Dabir Ilha Eda Lemor? Depart, I pray the eye. Suruna, Suruna, depart, I pray the eye. Suruna. From the tents of these wicked, these ratchet men, Suruna me Allah aholeyaha nashim harishaim, and touch nothing, no thing of theirs, lest ye all be swept away in all their sins, and all of them uckeries, and all them sins. With Allah tigua bikola asher lahem pena tia safua bikola chatotam. I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. Here, 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 today's psalm, Mizmor Kaf, wow, here, Hebraically, the sixth verse. Erchata benikayon nakapaya, why so beba eta miza bachika, Yahuwah. I will wash my hands in innocency, erchat. Erchat, I will wash, erchat, benikayon, in innocency. Kapai, my hands, the palms of my hands. Erchata benikayon, nikayon kapai. Erchata benikayon kapai. Why is so vava? So will I compass. Why is so beba? Compass eta miza bachika, thine altar, Yahuwah, O Jehovah. This verse is to be read in the light, the illumination of what is taught in a Mishnah. In a Mishnah, quote, on each of the first 7 days of Sukkot, of tabernacles, men circled the altar once, reciting even the words of Psalm 118, Hebraically the 26th verse, Psalm 118, verse 26. We beseech thee, O Lord, save now. Anna, Yahuwah, Hoshi, Anna, we beseech thee, I, O Jehovah, Anna, Anna, Yahuwah, save now, Hoshi ah na, ana Yahuwah, Hoshi ah na. Midrash note right here, here, here. Refer to Sukkot 4 and 5. Sukkah 4 and 5 and B Sukkah, Babylonian Talmud Sukkah 45a for this reference here, here, here. And with what did they circle Ha Mizbeach? Did they circle the altar? With branches of palm trees, boughs of myrtle, and willows of the brook in their right hand, and with fruit of the citron in their left. As it is said, even in Vayikra in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 40, that reads, And ye and y'all shall take you on the first day the fruit of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye and y'all shall rejoice, lifnei Yahuwah Elohim, before Jehovah your Elohim, your power. U lekachtem malachem ma bayom harishon apri eitza hadar kapota te marima wa anafa eitza abota we arve nachala u shemachtem Lifnei Yahuwah Elohekem Shivata Yamin. Here, here, full of verse, Leviticus 23, here at verse 40. And ye and y'all shall take, U lekachtem, and y'all shall take, U lekachtem lachem, and y'all shall take to yourselves, U lekachtem lachem, bayom harishon pri, eitz ahadar kapota temarima, And ye, y'all, shall take you on the first day the fruit of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And ye, y'all, shall rejoice before Jehovah, your power, your Elohim, 7 days. Ulekachtem lakem bayom harishon pri eitz hadar kapota temarim wa anafa eitz abota we arveya nachala u semachtem alfi lifnei Yahuwah Elohekem shivata yamim ani lechozer ולקחתם לכם ביום הראשון פרי עץ ההדר כפות התמרים וענף עץ האבות וערבי הנחל ושמחתם And y'all shall rejoice. U'samachtem lifnei Yahuwah Elohekem. Before, in the presence of He who be, who He be, y'all power, y'all Elohim. Lifnei Yahuwah Elohekem. Shiba'at Yamim. 7 days. Shiba'at Yamim. Shiba'at Yamim. I will wash my hands in innocent sea. Erchat b'nikayon kapai. Erchat b'nikayon kapai. I will wash erchat in innocency, benikayon my hands, kapai. This implies that the festive wreath must be got through purchase, not through robbery. For in a Mishnah, we are taught, quote, a festive wreath that is got by robbery or is withered is unfit for circling ha-mizbeach, the altar with. For a festive wreath must be innocent of violence or robbery, lest the advocate turn accuser. Lest the advocate turn accuser. And that they refer to Sukkah 3 and 1. Rav Levi said, a man who uses a festive wreath got by robbery, to whom may he be likened? To a highwayman who sat at a crossroads, robbing all those who came and went. And once, even as a royal legate was passing on his way to levy the tax of a certain province, the highwayman, springing up against him, got the better of him and robbed him, taking all he had with him. After a time, the highwayman was captured and cast into prison. When the king's legate heard this, he went to the highwayman and said to him, up and give me all that thou didst rob and take away from me, and I shall plead for thee. I shall plead for the eye. The highwayman answered, quote, of all that I seized upon and took away from thee, I have naught, nothing left, except this rug which belongs to thee, to the eye. The legate said to him, give it to me, and I shall plead for thee. And as the highwayman gave it to him, the legate said, tomorrow thou wilt be taken out to judgment. And when the king, Hamelech, the Negus, even Negus Neges, says to thee, is there any man that will plead for thee? I shall make the plea. The next day, the highwayman was taken out to judgment. Hamelech, the king, the Negus, even Negus Neges, asked him, hast thou a man to plead for thee? And the highwayman replied, such and such a legate. Hamelech, the king, the Negus, then sent for the legate and asked, knowest thou anything good of this man? The legate answered, I do indeed. On the day that thou didst send me to levy the tax of a certain province, this man, springing out upon me, got the better of me, and robbed me, taking away all that I had with me. This very rug is his witness. Then all said, woe yo, woe, to the man whose advocate turns accuser. Even so, when a man takes a festive wreath that is got by robbery, it cries out before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before the Holy One, blessed be He, saying, I was got by robbery. I was got by violence. Of such a man, the ministering angels say, woe yo, woe to that man. Woe to that man whose advocate turns accuser. Hence, here, David said, I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Jehovah, with a festive wreath, got through purchase, not robbery. Elchata benikayon kapai. Wa esobeba eta miza bacheka Yahuwah I will wash my hands in innocency. I will wash in innocency my hands. Erchata benikayon kapai. So will I compass thine altar. Why so beba etamiza bachika Yahuwah, O Jehovah.
Shalom, shalom, chavarim, shalom.